can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
To the GSMC Movies Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey, and today our two films that we're talking about both involve people most definitely put in a situation over their head where they could very easily be killed multiple times, but because it is a movie, that's probably likely not going to happen. And because they're both comedies, that's almost especially not going to happen, which is always sort of annoying. I mean, I love a lot of those movies just because, like, you're in the most ridiculous situation and your reactions are a little, is that really what you do? Okay. But on the other hand, I'm like, yeah, but if I was in those situations, yeah, I probably would have been, like, killed in the first 20 minutes or so of this film. And the number of times you should have been killed and aren't is just amazing. And just my suspension of disbelief doesn't quite get there yet. So I'm just like, I love it, but... no, but yes, but no. So anyways, the first film is The Spy Who Dumped Me. And this is the new, I don't even know if you want to call it, like, not quite a chick flick and not quite a, like, a buddy comededy, a chick flick buddy, I don't even know. Starring Mila Kunis and Kate McKinnon as two friends who, one of them, Mila Kunis, her boyfriend had just recently dumped her. And they find out, oh, actually, this boyfriend was a spy. And he had a quote-unquote package that a lot of dangerous people are after. And so now they have to go on the run to try, A, not to be killed, and B, to deliver this package to the actual good guys, if C, they can actually figure out who those actual good guys are to begin with. So this is... I was slightly interested in this, seeing the trailers for it, and it does sort of fall... into the typical, I don't even know if these are typical buddy, but it feels this way, typical buddy comedy lines of there's one that's the slightly more straight character, and then there's the other that's the slightly more zany, crazy, does wild things character. And so the more straight character is Mila Kunis's Audrey, and the more crazy character is Kate McKinnon's Morgan. And they've evidently known each other pretty much their whole lives, or certainly it seems since at least, probably at least 15 years or so at this point. And they seem to know all about each other to the point I think they might actually live in the same apartment together. And if they don't, Kate McKinnon very easily knows how to get into Mila Kunis's Audrey's apartment. So it's almost essentially the same. So anyways, we start the film with it being Audrey's birthday, and Morgan comes out of somewhere with a microphone over the bar speaker system singing happy birthday to sort of cheer her up because she's a bit down because it's only been a week or so since she was dumped, and she was dumped by text message. And so she's trying to cheer her up, and they clearly know a lot about each other and understand each other's sort of idiosyncrasies. And so Morgan decides, you know what? You're still really upset about that guy dumping you. You still have some of his stuff. Let's go back and burn his stuff, as you do to get over a bad breakup. So this Audrey is convinced by this, and Morgan had actually texted Drew, the ex-boyfriend, to say, as Audrey, saying, oh, we're going to burn all your stuff, which he freaks out about because he had left his stuff at Audrey's, seemingly, I guess, to keep it safe, including this disguised package. And it is actually referred to throughout the film as the package. So he freaks out, comes back really quick to, they live in LA, and he, when we start, is in Lithuania or somewhere. There is a lot of hopping around Europe in this. And even though we do always get the sort of little caption or whatever at the bottom of now they're in, you know, Amsterdam, or now they're in Vienna, Austria, now they're in Paris, France, wherever. There's so much hopping around that I have a hard time. And also, I've never been to Europe, so I really don't have any sort of like personal reference of, ah, I recognize wherever. I know where we are. So I'm just like, you're in somewhere Europe, and now you're in somewhere slightly different Europe. That's all I've got. But anyways, he comes back, but at the same time, people from his CIA organization, it's not quite clear who he works for, and there is seemingly some sort of multi-country partnering up or something going on, because the CIA is definitely mentioned, but then MI6 is also mentioned, and it seems one of the agents they mainly deal with is from MI6, but the director is from the CIA. It's, again, like Europe, and just like, just throw everything in there. I'm not quite sure. General Europe place, general spy thing, continue. So anyways, they immediately get caught up in this thing where they have the package. In order to keep it safe, Drew has told Audrey that the package needs to be delivered to a certain person in Vienna. And so when Drew is killed in front of them, they're like, well, crap. Now we've gotten, and that's not a spoiler, that's pretty much the setup in the trailer. They're like, crap, now we've got this package, and we're essentially, even if we don't really know what the package is, we've been led to believe horrible, horrible things, and lots of people are going to die if we don't get this package where it needs to go. All we know is we need to go to this specific cafe in Vienna to meet the specific person to give them the package. But Audrey and Morgan don't actually know who this person is, and they're not at all spies, so they're really winging this a lot. And that's where a lot of this sort of like, how are you not killed, really comes in. Because when they first get there, they are trying to meet Vern at this cafe, but they don't know who Vern is. They don't know if there's any sort of like signal that Vern's supposed to give them to know, hey, I know who you are and you know who I am. They don't even know if Vern knows to expect them, because it originally was supposed to be Drew dropping off the package. So they're like, how will Vern even trust us? And this leads to a shootout, which it seems A, everybody has a gun except for these two girls, and B, following the rules of moviehood, even though you have that gun, you wait till your opportune set for your character time to fire it so that we do not kill the good guys or whatever. Which then leads to them fleeing this thing and going into a car chase. And it's just like, why do you... Fine, maybe you didn't get shot in the cafe because they're not specifically aiming for you, even though it does seem everyone's kind of trying to kill everyone. There are a lot of people with guns in this cafe of a place that wasn't... It was really supposed to be one person meeting another person. Shouldn't everyone else in the cafe just be random strangers? But no, they all seem to be some sort of secret agents, whatever. Then we get into a car chase, which is ridiculous, almost to a funny level at times, and then other times it's just like, no, I can't even, that's too ridiculous, I can't buy it levels of ridiculous. And then this leads to them trying to get on a train, and again, lots of hopping around Europe, and I'm just like, I don't quite know where we are or why we came to this specific place, but I'm just gonna watch this next scene that I may or may not be supposed to laugh at, whatever. And the problem with this film that I had is that the humor is a bit hit and miss. There are clearly, you know, times where I'm supposed to laugh because they totally would, and I'm just like, I don't find that funny. And then there are other times where I did actually laugh because I was like, okay, that's good, including my favorite line from this movie, which involves the Cheesecake Factory. I won't say what it is. I just really like that line for some odd reason. But then there are other things beyond the you should have been killed 20 times thing that makes it seem also like almost even the professional spies in this movie perhaps would in real life be killed by actual spies. So for example, and this is also in the trailer, there ends up being a torture scene with what looks to be a gymnast, and this is an actual trained assassin who's also a trained gymnast for some reason. Her, like, trainers are both themselves assassins and gymnastics coaches, because those always go together. I don't know. And they decide to torture them in what looks to be this old sort of Soviet-era gymnasium, because, you know, seemingly no one else is around. But also, hey, gymnastics coach, gymnastics-trained assassin, we're in a gymnasium. Let's use that. So there's torture involving, like, aerial silks. And when the assassin comes in, she does so by doing, like, flips. And I'm just like, what is the point of that? to seem really random, because other than that, I'm just like, what a assassin. I don't care that you're a gymnast. You could totally do that. And that would make you, know, a really good, probably, fighter. But is that necessary to torture the two people you have tied up? You can totally just actually torture them. That's a strange statement as I'm saying it. But it's just like, And then later with this assassin, we get a fight on trapezes. Flying trapeze in Cirque du Soleil or something. Because reasons. Okay. Likewise, the person they first meet, who sort of tells them, oh, hey, by the way, your ex-boyfriend is a spy and all this. He, at times, I'm like, you are supposedly, this is the MI6 guy. You are supposedly a really, like, talented, smart, if not assassin, spy, whatever, government agent. And yet you do some really dumb things, including knocking out a guy, but then leaving the radio with him so that, you know, when he comes to, he can totally do the bad thing you knocked him out to not do to begin with. He, at one point, is running around with two girls with the package, and he sees someone who he knows is, like, in this underworld, and so he knows they know him, and he's been made. And so he leaves the two totally not at all trained girls with the very important package to be just be like, okay, just stay in public. Don't do anything. I'm going to go, you know, I think he's going to go try and deal with this. I'm like, why are you going anywhere where you can be killed and no one will know it, and leave the two not trained girls by themselves with the very important package? Just like, in what MI6 spy school do they teach you these sort of things? I don't know. I wanted to like it just because Kate McKinnon is feeling a bit for me like Melissa McCarthy, where I've seen her in some things and really liked her to the point that I always super wish her well, and yet keep finding myself not liking her films too much, like Ghostbusters, in which also had Melissa McCarthy. So I'm just like, I want you to have better work. Why is this not happening? I like her at times, but again, she's the more over the top, crazier character. So some of the things that she's doing that are supposed to be zany and funny, I'm just like rolling my eyes. This is not supposed to be a serious spy film, but it's also to the, you know, it's not even that they luck out on not being killed. There are times, you know, that it's them actually doing things, and on, you can see it on their faces that sometimes even they're shocked they can do it. And then at other times we get sort of ridiculous explanations like, oh, I play a lot of video games. And I'm like, no, yeah, you'd still be killed. And they do some really smart things at times, and then they do some really dumb stuff. So for example, they get a bad guy's phone, and they're using that phone to communicate with the, like, head of the bad guys. But the phone needs the thumbprint to unlock, and it keeps locking itself. And rather than go into this phone security systems and just turn off that feature, they decide to cut off the thumb and take it with them, because that's smart. Likewise, when they're going into the sort of final mission, they dye their hair because they're trying to, at least, Milena Kunis's Audrey is trying to be a very specific person. She's sort of taking their identity to get into this place. Kate McKinnon evidently just decided to dye her hair because her best friend was dyeing her hair. But there originally, Kate McKinnon is blonde and Audrey is brunette. Kate McKinnon's Morgan and Audrey. Audrey has to dye her hair to become blonde. So Morgan decides, I also need to dye my hair, so I'm going to dye it black, so that all these people who are looking for a blonde and a brunette are still looking for a blonde and a brunette. And I'm like, if that was the case, why couldn't Morgan just have been the blonde person? Like, why did you need to be the blonde person? Which is never explained why it couldn't be Morgan, except that, you know, Morgan's the less serious character, so maybe we don't want her in the more serious part of the, you know, mission or whatever. I'm just like, I want to like this. I like it at times, and then other times it's just so, oh my gosh, sigh, like with the trapeze fight, that I'm just like, I can't even. It's not even to the point of funny, it's just to the point of why now. So we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movies Podcast, our second film in this You Really Should Have Been Killed 20 Times Over, But It's a Comedy, So We'll Just Let You Go With It episode is Game Night. This stars Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams as a couple who are intensely into games, and their weekly game night with their friends is somewhat thrown a curve when Jason Bateman's character's brother comes into town, decides he wants to host the game night, decides what's the best way to do this is to host a murder mystery party, except that the people who come in are not actually part of the murder mystery game company. They're real people who take the brother, and then the rest of the players have to try and figure this out and save him, even though at first they are not aware this is not a game. So it's... Given the, especially the main characters, Jason Bateman's Max and Rachel McAdams' Annie actually met at like a trivia night at a bar and then proposed during like charades or something. And then at their wedding had two DDR councils because clearly we're just very, very much into games. They're clearly supposed to be very serious about games. But then when we get to the murder mystery, almost everyone essentially tries to cheat. So when Brooksart is taken, there ends up being three different teams, essentially three different couples. There's Max and Annie, who are married and trying to have a baby, but having some issues with that. There's another married couple whose names I don't even remember. They're both African American, and they've evidently been together since they were 14 and got married when they were 19. But it comes out they had like a break in the middle in which they both were using that break to somewhat to their advantage. And then there is a third couple, which involves their friend who seems kind of dumb, but who has a habit of bringing different girls who all sort of look alike to this game night. And those girls, unfortunately, are even dumber than him, so he never wins. And so for this game night, he decided he actually wanted to try and be good at the games. And so he asked a coworker who's actually pretty smart. And they have this awkward thing where it's this a date, is this not a date? Oh, it's just for the games. Oh, you're actually dumber than I thought you were, etc. That whole dynamic is a little strange. But so anyways, the married since teenagehood couple actually goes through and tries to do the clues. The married couple immediately just decides to try and chase Brooks's phone to find him at the end, because he's the person who they think has been taken in this game. And so you have to find the person who's been taken to win the game. The couple of the guy with his coworker decide to go to the company that does the game to get the last hint. So there's all sorts of varying levels of, you know, whether or not we're good at playing this game. And this leads to the three couples being not together when we start to find out, oh, hey, this is not a game. So because Max and Annie have decided to trace Books's phone, they get to him very quickly, but he's being held in a sort of seedy bar by these people with guns. But they, I cannot even remember how this happens. They somehow get the drop on them because Brooks had a gun, but got dropped in the fight when he was taken, and Annie has the gun. But she, because she thinks this is still a game, just thinks it's a fake gun and is so sort of waving it around as they're, you know, like, ah, we got you, get down on the ground, which leads to this sort of ridiculous scene. She tells them to get down and put their heads on the ground, but their hands up, and they're all like, how are we supposed to do that? She's like, haven't you ever heard of child's pose from yoga? And this is like, you know, two, I don't even know what to call them. We later find out that they're ex-cons or ex-prisoners or something. Two ex-prisoners and a bartender. And they're like, yeah, no, we don't know yoga. So she hands the gun to Jason Bateman's character, who, again, thinks it's not a real gun and so holds it in a not at all I could easily shoot you sort of manner and gets down on the ground with them to show them how to do child's pose. And I'm just like, what? Just, okay, fine, maybe he's got the gun, but none of you have any other weapons? Because we do later find out, you know, oh, these are actually dangerous people, you know, not the just hired actors that Max and Annie think they are. It's just like, you don't know any sort of, you know, self-defense move that could easily put her in a, okay, you've got a gun on me, but I can easily kill your wife, so drop the gun sort of thing? Okay. So we then soon find out when we get to Brooks that Brooks knows this is not a game because they really actually tried to, you know, physically beat him up. But it was very strange that while this is going on, they're all watching him in this fight with these two people, thinking this is just really well acted. He never once yells out to them like, no, this is not a game. No, this is for real. No, these people are trying to kill me, kidnap me, something. And I'm just like, why wouldn't you tell somebody in this real situation, especially since, you know, one of those couples is your brother and his wife? Moving on. So we continue on. The couples eventually do all find out in different ways that, oh crap, this is not a game. This is real. Real bad people have taken Brooks, and if we don't get them something, they're going to kill him. Which then leads to the not at all believable situation of these not at all in the underworld sort of people essentially going into the underworld and getting this thing they need to save Brooks and somehow, again, not being killed. And even more so than the spy who dumped me, where there is sort of at least the idea that, okay, A, we get the ridiculousness of, oh, you learn this from video games. But B, also a good portion of that is probably adrenaline. There is a scene, for example, in this film involving running through a house and tossing an egg. And it's a bit more serious than it sounds, but it's still also ridiculous in that this ever works for them because, you know, there's a party going on at this house and pretty much most of those people are actually trying to catch them. And yet they never get caught and they manage to somehow run through this house, passing this egg back and forth between the six quote-unquote good guys. And it's just like, yeah, no, you're so limited. And fine, there's six of you and we only see three main chasers at the moment, but you should have been caught. Somebody with the egg should have been caught when they had the egg. And or does nobody have like weapons in this bad guy's house to just put an end to this ridiculousness right now? What? And then we get to the thing they're after to save Brooks, which feels almost a bit like a MacGuffin. It feels all sorts of just, no, wait, seriously, that's what you're after? Because A, it's originally not what we think it is. But then B, when we do see what it actually is, I'm just like, is that really what that would be like? I feel like A, without trying to spoil it, A, it should be like bigger, and B, in a more durable form. Because when we finally see it, I'm like, that looks very easy to destroy, which I don't think it should be, given how much everyone seems to want it. What? Just, am I supposed to take anything seriously here? Because it's so ridiculous that I don't even feel anyone's in danger. So for example, and this is in the trailer, when Annie has the gun and doesn't think it's a real gun, she sort of fires it off and ends up firing it off, and it sort of ricochets and hits Max's arm. And then later there's this whole scene where they need to take the bullet out of his arm, but they don't know how to do that. So they go to like a convenience store and get like, you know, rubber gloves instead of latex gloves. And they don't have any sort of rubbing alcohol. So we pour champagne on it. And it's just like, look, I get you're improvising and bravo for that. But also, given how the scene ends, really? Just nobody noticed that? And that's one of the major things. There's a scene involving, and this is also in the trailer, involving a dog that gets covered in blood, which is the blood that's dripping from Max's bullet wound in his arm, as we later find out. And it's just like, you didn't notice that. You didn't notice either the blood or the dog, you know, right below you until it's like halfway covered in blood. Really? And because this movie is called Game Night and does involve, you know, six characters trying to figure out what happened to a seventh character and not get killed themselves, it reminded me quite a bit of the movie Clue, except I feel that Clue is actually quite a better film than this one, which is interesting because A, Clue was not that successful at the box office, though I don't know why. I think Clue's quite funny. But B, Clue you would think would be more limited because it's going off of a, you know, known property, the board game Clue, or Cluedo, I think. Cluedo. I want to say it's Cluedo, like hoodoo, but I didn't even know that it was called that in, like, I think Britain or something till maybe like 3 years ago. So I'm not sure how it's pronounced at all. But anyway, so because it's based off of that, you know, name property, you have the characters as the names Miss Scarlet and Professor Plum and all that. And you have to then put in a story into this thing that people already kind of know about. Game Night isn't really limited in that way because it can sort of be anything it wants. And yet it just feels even more, not limited, but more like the creators just didn't quite know how to do what they were trying to do. Like, again, it's not, it would be fine if it was just sort of, I don't know if it's because there's multiple parties involved who all should really be able to kill these six gamers, not even gamers, like video gamers, game players, should all be able to kill these six game players like multiple times throughout this night as they're going on in these adventures. And yet with each of these much more skilled bad guys, we somehow still are able to get, you know, get one over on them, even though that should totally not be believable. But also just the franticness during the, oh my gosh, I'm freaking out because I might be killed scenes, just didn't work for me. Whereas in Clue, it kind of does because no, someone was actually murdered and we don't know who could be next. By the, you know, second or third time where, oh my gosh, I could be killed, I'm kind of like, but no, not really. Because as we've seen, they somehow are just completely unable to kill you even though they should be. So I'm not worried enough to the point that, you know, all your crazy, oh my gosh, I'm freaking outness would actually make me laugh. Like, I'm just like, ugh, what are you wearing for? Stop being over dramatic. Just move on. Just go on. You know you're going to be able to get whatever. You know you're not. Well, I mean, I know as the audience you're not. So there's no like stakes here to make me be at all involved. And I really didn't care, sadly, too much for almost anything in this film, except for their weird cop neighbor, who at first is also another one of those, you're dragging this on too long, please move things. Because when we're first introduced to them, to him, he's just sort of weird, and he stands at the mailbox staring, and he's still in his cop uniform, like, hours after he's gotten home and not done anything, so he should have changed out, and he speaks kind of strange. And then as we go through the craziness of the night, he does actually have some of my favorite lines and favorite moments, and I was like, okay, that's actually kind of entertaining. The rest of this, not so much, but the weird cop, I'm kind of down for. So on that note, we're going to end for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Movies Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.